Fulfillment centers. This phrase apparently has been around since the mid-90s, with the internet so civilizing our world that it waved its magic Wi-Fi wand over our language, too. Fulfillment centers replacing that ghastly word, warehouses. Amazon and others would much prefer us to think of fulfillment centers, which its website describes as, quote, not only storing products, but also serving as distribution centers where associates pick, pack, and ship orders quickly and efficiently. They're also described there as well-ventilated, appropriately temperatured, and open for select tours, but I think that's a homily for another day. Fulfillment centers literally fulfill customers' orders, and they sure do that quickly, especially helpful for church office needs. Of course, we need next day shipping on those spring survey golf pencils, and also for jolts of inspiration. Of course, I need another construction hazard vest to arrive before Mardi Gras comes. While the phrase follows function, fulfillment centers does sound like it's saying a bit more. A wink and a grin and another cardboard box on the doorstep, and voila, fulfillment in some way has arrived. I'm thinking about fulfillment centers today and about the center of our fulfillment, because that's the word that seems to hang in the air, gathered around Jesus, hearing more up high at his Sermon on the Mount this morning. Fulfillment probably isn't the word that got you shifting in your stance during our 21-verse gospel reading today. Anger, lust, divorce, remarriage, the swearing of oaths. Jesus has strong, challenging words on each of these, seeking to move us from consenting to those destructive internal flashes, from rationalizing our way around bonds, from loosely offering our words. What he's really doing is making the Jewish law complete, bringing it to perfection, fulfilling it. Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Jesus' morality follows his mission. He comes to fulfill. The Messiah hoped for, longed for, pointed to, brings a message of more. Now, these fulfilled statements, again, are challenging. Anger, lust, divorce, remarriage, the swearing of oaths. We can think anything else that you forgot to mention here, Jesus. Hard enough as they are, these are also statements that have been weaponized by believers in the past. The prohibition against remarriage, for instance, is abundantly clear and is a situation the church seeks to aid healing in through the annulment process, through conversation and counseling, through prayer and listening. But divorce, which is brought up just before that remarriage bit, has to be understood within the culture of Jesus' day, where a husband sending his wife away meant sending her out into the world poor and unprotected, led into adultery either through prostitution or remarriage. The marriage bond is indissoluble, a forever thing. But divorce from abuse, for one, would not run counter to Jesus' message today, would not take one out of the communion line or place one with a bright scarlet letter. These words, again, are challenging enough without our adding on top of them. Below them, that's where we look again, and we find fulfillment. We look for fulfillment in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of spots, right? Again, think of those Amazon Smile-Kissed Fulfillment Center boxes. We need things. We have have emotions, but where is our fulfillment, really? I recently heard a quote about loneliness that might be seen as part of the flip side of fulfillment. A quote I think applicable here. You can give into loneliness now, but later, when it's over, you'll feel it even more. You can give in to the anger, to the lust. You can push the suffering away for a time, but it'll come back stronger, and you will come back less fulfilled. If Jesus comes for fulfillment of the scriptures, of ourselves, how though can we take up any of these heavy things, much less all of them? We can feel far from that Sermon on the Mount perch this morning, can't we? Acknowledging the unhealthy, lesser modes of our fulfillment, I think that's a good way to start. Maybe it's something tied to that 21-verse list. Maybe it's something zipping through a fulfillment center somewhere. Maybe it's something else. Secondly, which we can't get to without that first step, but which is the most important step, remember that it's Jesus who is here for the fulfillment work. It's not all on us. His grace can work with our actions. Listen again to the wisdom in Sirach's first reading, which Ben proclaimed for us. If you trust in God, you too shall live. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. We don't do it ourselves. God leads the dance, but we're with him. We're capable with his grace. We're made for this movement. And then finally, choose one step in that process. Not the whole list, not A to Z, one step. God must be the center of our fulfillment. That's the only way this reading makes sense. That's the only way Jesus' messiahship and mission makes sense. That's the only way our lives make sense. We pray for the grace, the sight, the center of fulfillment this morning.